Still not convinced? Watch as I hit the grill glove with this 3400 degree blowtorch, and it's barely even warm.
I am now telling the computer exactly what he can do with a lifetime supply of chocolate.
Hey everybody, I'm weekend meteorologist Elizabeth Hart from Local 6. You are listening to the Mike Kara Radio Show, I on Central Florida.
Welcome back to our last segment of this edition of the Mike Kara Radio Show, I on Central Florida, here at Frank's Place Restaurant Sports Bar, 146 North Clark Road in beautiful Ocoee, Florida. And if it's happening in Ocoee, it is happening at Frank's Place. Right now, what is happening at Frank's Place is I'm being joined by Bob Casso from the Actors Group Orlando, as well as a great actor and a now producer and a screenwriter. And, you know, Bob, we've been, you know, talking all about, I want to talk more about, you know, what you're doing, your upcoming projects as well, but so we're kind of talking about acting, and you know, one thing we're kind of talking that these things really, while in our audience, they'll really need to be fun, and you really need to have a passion for it. Like I said, for my case, it seems like acting would be a passion for it if I actually did it. Then,
it's you know, it's funny. Bruce Springsteen, who I just absolutely love, they asked him why at 62, 63 that he continues to tour. And he said, is it because you want to? He says, no, it's because I have to. Because he's an artist. He has to do it. He loves to do it. And it's the same with all my students. I tell them, I said, if you don't love this to your core, you might as well take a hike. Because it's going to take work. It's going to take determination. Because I don't believe in luck. I think it's nonsense. It takes hard work. I said, but you got to love it. And they all do. They get up there and they create and they show their emotions. And they create these wonderful characters. It's beautiful to watch and it's beautiful to do. I just booked a film that shoots up in South Carolina called the, oh my gosh, I forgot its name because I just got it the other day. It's called the Ivy League Farmer, and it's going to be shot in South Carolina. Great role, a lot of fun, and I still get the same excitement when I book something like that I did 25, 26 years ago when I got my first film or my first TV show. It never dies because it's a passion. Like you said, it's a passion.
So, yeah, and again, with a lot of things, you know, it does take time. And you were mentioning about, you know, not to start with, like, with cold reads, or you gotta start with the basics.
Start with the basics. Look at everything. You know, a painter's not going to, you know, Michelangelo wasn't going to paint the ceiling, the Sistine Chapel, you know, just fresh out of, being an assistant to somebody. It took practice. It took time. It takes effort. It takes intelligence. You know, you got to learn how to break things down. It's almost mathematical when you're taking apart a script to find the character, to find its true emotion. Yeah.
And that's the one thing, Bob, in all of this is to try to find the character. And I think a lot of times, especially in Hollywood, they try to book or they try to cast certain Hollywood actors because they think that they'll hit what they're looking for.
Yeah. It's funny. You wouldn't believe, Al Pacino was actually offered Han Solo in Star Wars. Al Pacino, and he turned it down because he said, I didn't understand the script. And of course, Harrison Ford got it. That's because they only wanted to throw him in there because, well, he just did The Godfather, he just did Dog Day Afternoon or whatever, and now he's a star, so let's. That's how they sometimes would do things. You're not getting the right actor for the role. And the other thing, some actors, young actors nowadays, they're more into posing and their emotions rather than discovering the character where the emotions actually come out of. See, the actor thinks my emotions first. No, what you got to do is figure out the character, and the character's emotions come first. Because the people go to see the character in the play. They don't go to see you. You see, in other words, I go to see Meryl Streep become someone else, to do what she does. I would not sit and watch a movie about Meryl Streep at home gardening and talking to her children. You know, I want to see that artist working and doing her thing. You see? So there's still some great actors out there that really get into the bare knuckles of the character, and they bring you something new every time, and it's great to see.
And the one thing, Bob, I want to talk about is how all entertainment is kind of interrelated. We know Jared Leto was a musician, got into acting. And one thing, just the other day, we were watching Haven, and Edge the Wrestler was actually in that show, and he does a fantastic job. So it seems like people in the entertainment field could kind of like jump from one thing.
You know something? A creative person is a creative person is a creative person. If if they can get up in front of a thousand, you know, thousands of people and play the guitar, sometimes they can actually get up in front of five or six people and a camera and perform, you know, and act. Not everybody makes the transition very well, though. Some guys are just bad. Jared Leto's a great actor. There are other ones who have crossed over. There are some who've tried to cross over and they look ridiculous. But you know, if you're an artist and you walk through life with eyes wide open and a lot of empathy, you can generally duplicate life. And that's what an actor needs to do. He has to duplicate life, real life.
Right. And that's probably one thing that you try to teach with your classes then.
Huh? Oh, yeah. There's no, it's, I call it the no posing zone. You know, these kids, they're not all kids, too. I got guys in there 50-something years old, 40-something years old, 20s, 17, 19, you know, those ages. You got to... I have them really look within. They discover things about themselves that are amazing that they apply to their characters.
Oh, well, that's interesting there. And now, Bob, hearing all that, I want to ask this question. As you mentioned, you have all different ages. So, I mean, personally, do you feel that you're ever too old to act?
No. There was an actor, I think his name was it William Farnsworth or Bill Farnsworth? He'd been around for years, but he didn't hit till he was about 68. And he ended up getting nominated for an Oscar for, I think it was this film he did about an old man driving a lawnmower across country, or it was another film. I can't remember the name. He's a wonderful actor. Wilford Brimley was in his 50s, you know, or later, and they started late in life. I know actors that started at 38 and now are all over TV and film. Don't ever put a limit on anything. Don't ever put a limit on yourself.
Oh, so yeah, that's definitely good advice. Yeah. Is to never put limitations on anything.
It's standard philosophy, man. Why do that? It's like believing in luck or believing in failure. I don't believe in failure. If something doesn't work out, I say, fine, it didn't work out. I go on to the next thing. I figure out a way around it. Actors get obsessed with the word luck and the word failure, and I'm like, why get obsessed with anything? Get obsessed with the work.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's what you want to get obsessed with. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's like, you know, you might as well carry a rabbit's foot and see how much good that does you if you believe in luck. So, you know, you just got to work. It's effort.
Exactly. One thing, Bob, that I've talked to different actors, and this has happened, is to try to know exactly what a director is looking for or what exactly the role is. Because a lot of times I was told by an actor that they went in, they totally thought that they blew it, they didn't hit what they were looking for, and then they got the role because didn't know what the director was looking for.
It could have been two things. They could have either changed theirs, because that's happened to me. They could have either changed their minds. And they felt, wow, no, that's the character, or he can bring the character through who he is. Or they really didn't know.
Right.
You know, and they said, well, okay, that works for us. Or there was something about the guy himself.
Right.
Yeah. You know, maybe even his look sometimes. Sometimes it's not about talent. It's your look.
Yeah.
You know, and in my film, you know, the local hires, they're going to have serious acting chops. Serious comedic acting chops. But sometimes, and you know, when you're doing TV in L.A. and other, they just throw someone in there that looks good for the part. But you can't worry about what the director wants. Well, on set you do. I'm talking about the audition now. Or the casting director wants. You just have to do what you're given and do it to the best of your ability based on the knowledge or the information you've been given by the casting director or by your agent. That's all you can do. You can also go, can I try it again? Or is there something you'd like me to do? You know, or do you see it differently? You can ask these questions and maybe they'll give you a hint of something. You know, but they actually want to see what you bring to it. They want to see how much of it you caught. That's all.
Oh, so yeah, you have a lot of experience knowing
tons of it.
What, you know, yeah, as far as directors are looking for then, yeah.
Well, you don't know, like the director you're not going to see till down the line after,
right.
You know, casting in L.A. But the casting director, yeah, you're never really going to know what they want, but you want to give them what was in what's called the breakdown. Give them that character there with the way you would do it. You know, or if you could bring something different to it, bring it in. I'll tell you one thing you better not do, and this is some, you know, they teach this out here a little bit, and you shouldn't do it in L.A., it'll kill you. You don't change the dialogue. You don't change the writer's dialogue.
Right, yeah.
You just don't do it. And, you know, say, oh, make it your own. No, you can make it your own emotionally,
but
you don't go in there and fuss with people's work.
No.
Because I did that one time in a casting office, in a big casting office. This is in L.A., and she says, excuse me, stop. Mr. Casso? I said, yes. She goes, are you the writer on this project? And I said, no, I don't want to hear what you have to say about it. Just stick to the dialogue. except she used some language that I can't use. But it's intense. And as a writer, I totally agree with that. If you want to change some things on set, you talk to the director, and he'll talk to the writer, and you can have the communal thing going. But otherwise, you know, let the director do his thing on set, when it's on set, not the audition, and try to see their vision and try to incorporate your vision with it. But do it in a communal, nice, mannerly way rather than, no, this is the way it should be. And I've seen actors do that and get tossed out.
Let everyone know not to change that.
You don't know. I'm sorry. Sometimes you don't know better. Just because you're an actor, you think you know better than a writer? You know what I mean? People go to see that writer's words, not to see they want to see your interpretation of the character. But those words have a certain rhythm to them, punctuation, and the way sentences are structured. Writers do this for a reason. There's a rhythm there. An actor comes in and says, well, I'm going to take this punctuation, I'm going to take that out, because I'm going to make it more my own. Well, what if the character is from Texas and you decided to play a Lithuanian midget? I don't know. I'm being sarcastic. But you just don't do that. You know, you confer with the director and the writer, and you see if you can come to some middle ground, because sometimes if you take out even a punctuation mark, you could change the rhythm of the intention of what the writer was trying to say, and you could change everything else that goes down the line. It's like dominoes. It can affect the rest of the screenplay.
Well, yeah, that's good to know. And now, Bob, I want to get your take on something, because you're talking about comedy and drama, and I know people have said that drama's easy, comedy is hard, but is that necessarily the case, though?
You know, it's a great story. My students have heard this a million times. There was an actor named Edmund Kean at the turn of the last century, late 1800s, early 1900s. Famous throughout the world. Everybody loved him. He was one of the most amazing stage actors of all time, and he had gotten old, and he was on his deathbed, and he was dying, and everyone wanted to know how he felt about dying, this great presence, how he felt about leaving this earth. And he was asked, he said, Sir Kean, you know, how do you feel about dying? And he said, dying is easy, comedy is hard. So, and he actually said that. Now, my belief is this. I've never had a problem with either one. I don't find one harder or not harder. Some people do. It's a matter of training. It's a matter of being willing to experience anything. See, that's what I tell my actors. Be willing to experience anything. Be willing to be empathetic and see everything in front of you, and you'll be able to duplicate that. And it's the same with comedy. The only difference with comedy is it's a rhythm thing. Otherwise, you play the reality. Every great comic actor, except if it's like Talladega Nights where they're just over the top. Great movie, don't get me wrong. But you look at John Gielgud in Arthur. He played it straight. He played the reality. And the dialogue was funny. So it became funny. He let the character live through the dialogue. No changing. Back to that again, you see? So there is no difference between really comedy and drama except a little bit of rhythm and timing, but you just play the reality, and that's often very funny.
Oh, okay. And one thing, Bob, I was wondering, you know, a lot of times people are wondering, you know, when they're acting, is how much of themselves they put in. I mean, as far as like accents, you know, being from New York, I'm being from Chicago. I mean, if I'm auditioning for a Texan, do I need to talk like a Texan?
Well you better, if you're, yeah, you better, if you look, dude, if it says Texas, you better
be. I better do it.
You better be Texas. Right. So, you know, it's of course. Some actors aren't really good at that, so you can go in and you can kind of half it a little bit, but if you're going to go in and talk like you're from Brooklyn over here, you know, it's not going to work out too well, you know? Right. It's just because you're from Texas, so it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Okay, so
that would be really changing the character and probably scaring the heck out of the people producing it.
Okay, but then I guess the question is, when it doesn't say Texan or Brooklyn guy or whatever, do you just try to, you know, be yourself, or well, yeah, how does
well,
that
you,
work?
You always want to bring, look, there's a part of yourself in every character,
right.
And a part of a character, and, you know, we as human beings, we all have the same level of emotions, no more, no less. When it comes to characters, they usually tell you straight out, he's angry and intense, physically wiry and 25 years old, or however they're going to say it. Doesn't say anything about an accent. So what I'll do is I'll find out, I'll say, well, are they from New York, whatever. But if it looks, the screenplay says it takes place in New York, well, then you know. So you get all the information from the script.
Okay.
Now, if you don't get a script, because sometimes you don't, you'll get just the breakdown. You have to cull as much as you can from that. You can go in and ask and be ready to do an accent, but you'll usually get the vibe from the information they give you if it has an accent. But it's not something I concentrate on or worry about. You just bring yourself to that description, your honesty to that description. That's the best you can do. That's all you can do.
Okay, Bob. And before we go, I want to discuss and let everyone know now, as far as your acting group Orlando, are you taking new students, or how does that process work?
It's the actorsgrouporlando.com. Not the, excuse me, it's just actorsgrouporlando.com. Now, the Facebook page is The Actors Group Orlando. So there's a difference. We have, for Facebook, we added a the. Right now, we still have room. I'm going to the class will peak at a certain amount, and then I'll have to hold off. I'm seeing two new students this week. We audit one free class. You can come in, actually get up and work. I'll work with you, and you can make a decision on whether or not you want to take the class. We have a great system of tons of plays and monologues and screenplays in a Dropbox on our Facebook class page that these actors have these tools they can work with. I shoot videos for my high-end videos for my students that they use in auditions. And, heck, one of my girls just got accepted to the Stella Adler School up in New York off one of her videos. And she's being seen by people at ABC. A couple of other my students have signed with agents because of those videos. So we offer a ton. So I think the class will fill up, but there's a ways to go. I think we have about maybe 10 seats left. And it's an ongoing class. And it's all there in the website. ActorsGroupOrlando.com tells you everything. And the Facebook page is The Actors Group.
Okay, and Bob, that sounds good. And did we mention that you have like a studio, and where was that located?
Yes, so the studio is at, I just moved in there, so it's, I think it's 1701, it's on the website, Keens Point Parkway, which is right off of Sand Lake, which is between I-4 and John Young. And it's a great little spot, it's a great little space to work in. And the actors seem very comfortable there, and it's nice and air-conditioned, and we never have any problems. It's a nice place.
Okay, Bob, really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thank you.
Sure. And if people would like to, I know you have the Internet Movie Database. I was checking you out, and people could check you out there.
IMDb.com. It's under Robert Casso. Yep.
Okay. Do you have any other websites or anything else?
There's the actorsgrouporlando.com.
Right.
There's Facebook, which is The Actors Group Orlando. Then there's on Facebook, there's Bob Casso, actor Robert Casso, which is just me, talking about what I'm doing lately and that sort of thing. I don't have my own regular website yet. I'm working on it, building one. But you can find out about me on all those sources, or about the class on all those sources.
Okay, Bob, thanks so much. My guest has been Bob Casso, who is from Actors Group Orlando, as well as a lot of great producing and screenwriting and acting. And we encourage now on these websites. Does you have what you're doing? I mean, your projects?
No, as far as my production, we're not doing any formal announcement yet. No rollout yet. We'll create an IMDb page, and then we'll roll out once we have the actors. Like I said, we have a couple of names that have signed letters of intent, but that's as far as we go with it until everything is signed and done. Then we'll promote that, and people will be able to see what's going on.
Okay, Bob, thanks so much.
Thank you again.
Sure. You've been listening to the Mike Caro Radio Show, I on Central Florida, here at Frank's Place Restaurant Sports Bar, 146 North Clark Road in beautiful Ocoee, Florida. And please catch us again next time.